The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all from Bar Canada here at the D in lovely downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Always great to have Matt in. Hanging out with us first hour of the show on Friday. We shift to college football. We got Jason Weingarten coming up later. I think we have Dr. Bob, though. It could be touch and go with Bob. I didn't really remind him, and you know how that goes. So we'll see if we get Bob.
I did.
You did? Do you respond?
No.
Okay. We'll see. Maybe Bob, maybe not. We don't know. I'll tell you who we do have, even after we got into a great debate about FSU earlier in the week. Chris Velik of the Bear, the host of the Bear Bets Pods, both college and pro football versions at Fox Sports, joins us once again. How you doing, Chris?
I'm okay. I'd be a little bit better if there weren't three goals scored in the 78th minute on yesterday in Everton. Newcastle, but we're alive. We survived. We got the under in the NBA game yesterday, so that alleviated some of the damage. But so does that mean we get two segments of Jason? No, Dr. Bob.
Well, I don't know. We didn't really prepare Jason for Dr. Bob's absence. We're just flying off the, you know, what's the expression? Off the seat of our pants.
Jason's got plenty of stuff he can talk. Jason's got plenty of stuff he can talk about, though. He can go unscripted.
Can I tell you a story about your buddy Ryan Russillo, who many of us know as, I believe, one of the great sports talk hosts in this country. Is that fair? Yes. Like, I'm a real fan of his. Yes. I think he's really good at what he does.
Excellent.
Yeah. I was walking to the game yesterday. I live really close to T-Mobile, and I'm walking through the casino, and there's a from the Aria to Park MGM, which is where you go outside to get to T-Mobile. There's these very wide, long hallways that curve like you to get to span the distance between the two casinos. So at one point I'm walking towards the arena and he's walking the other direction, but it's this wide, expansive hallway. And so all I do is I point at him and I go, Russillo, love you. Right. So he's like, hey, whatever. Yeah. Like, it doesn't know. Right. So then as I go my way, he goes his way. And then I stop because there's this new in the Park MGM. There's this new food truck that just appeared there for the last month, I guess. Cuban sandwiches.
The chef. From the movie.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, it's from that.
So I stop and I'm ordering a Cuban sandwich. So I'm holding my thing, you know, the buzzer ready to get my sandwich. Russillo comes right back. So now I'm like, oh, great. I got to explain myself because I just told him I love him. Oh, geez. So I was like, oh, hey, Ryan. And he was so impressed that I'm not sure that he ever stopped for one moment. Like, he just kept moving past me. He's like, hey, yeah, great. So, like, so please tell him hello next time you speak with him.
I will.
Yeah. No, he's fantastic at what he does, by the way. He really is.
He had SVP, and then him and Solo. It was just, you know why? He actually has common sense and doesn't like fly off the hook and like is reasoned in the way he actually thinks things out. Like, it isn't just knee jerk reaction. Actually, there's some content and some thought process behind things. It's supposed to just yelling and screaming and MFing people up and down.
Imagine that. Yeah. Okay, we had a soccer question off air because Kelly responded to your Everton laments by saying, should we all be betting Man City right now? And you said,
no, not at all. I think City has some problems. Obviously, they're going to be getting De Bruyne back at some point, but they've got some injury woes. And if you look at the fixtures, the schedules, like, Liverpool have played a few very difficult games already away from home. Like, their schedule is going to lighten up quite a bit, whereas Arsenal and Manchester City both have Champions League to worry about and trophy things like that. So with Liverpool kind of just out of Champions League, and they have Europa, but like, the league is like the number one priority for Liverpool. And the fact that they're going to get Arsenal at home coming up on the 23rd, which is a massive game. Man City, they have at home. They've already played away at Spurs. I believe they played away at Villa already. If you examine the fixtures, like, Liverpool has the most advantageous schedule the rest of the way. I think it's Liverpool or Arsenal this year. I really do.
Wow.
Right now, Arsenal plus 250, Liverpool plus 330.
My Arsenal guy in the building is going to disagree. He's going to be like, we're going to blow it. He's going to say, bet Liverpool. That's what that's what he's going to say.
Probably will.
Yeah.
They got so lucky the other day. They pulled one right out of the gun at Luton, winning 4-3. It kind of sucked. I was hoping that was going to be a draw, but credit to Arsenal for getting out of there with the win, something Liverpool couldn't do. They did draw down a Luton.
What is, if we just, I mean, you've been on this show, Chris, you've, I don't know, we've never tallied the number of appearances on a show, but you're certainly up there in terms of the number of times you've appeared on a numbers game. And you've, we've talked about, we once tried to count the number of sports we've talked about from a handicap. It's like 8 or 9, legit. Where is soccer for you, just from a fan slash betting standpoint? Is it one?
It's up there. I mean, college football is still my baby, but I would think it's right up there. Maybe right by NFL clearly is there.
You used to say horse racing, right? You used to be like horses and everything else.
It's funny. I have not been as big into horse racing the last couple of months, and I still am. It was funny. Somebody actually asked me that before, how the ponies going? And I said, Breeders' Cup was great. But I really haven't been doing much just because of my schedule. And then I think being in Australia for like a month really kind of just like put a roadblock in my horse racing handicapping during the fall, because I was on the other side of the world. So time-wise, it just didn't coincide with what I was able to be awake for to bet. So I'm going to start to get back into it now, because usually the championship meet at Gulfstream is pretty good. Oakland is always good, full fields. But I think if you look at the soccer and even the tennis now, is something that I think just the number of different ways you can bet it. And for live betting, it's fantastic.
All right, let's get to your bread and butter, as you called it, college football, your baby, as you called it. Army, Navy tomorrow, standalone, an annual tradition. A total of 28, I believe, is what we're seeing right now. Yeah. How are you playing this?
I'm not playing the game at all. I can't be the guy who's just going to come on here like everybody else and be like, take the dog in a service academy game and take the under. I mean, but at the same time, I don't want to be the guy sitting there trying to be cute and go over 27.5 or 28 or whatever it is. And here we are on a 14 play, 11 minute drive that ends in a field goal. That's just torture. Miserable existence being through that. So I have no play for you here. Unfortunately, I did find three things in some early bowls.
Please.
That I did like, and I think the numbers are still out there. I grabbed West Virginia -3 against North Carolina. I think the three was in a couple of spots, but it's 3.5, I think, pretty much elsewhere. Like, if nothing else, I think this is a play where you're getting an opportunity to get ahead of a number. I can't see Drake May playing in this game. I think North Carolina will have a bunch of other opt-outs in this game. So I could see this number running up to close to 6, at least, if May doesn't play. North Carolina in the second half of the year has been a complete disaster. 6-0, top 10, and again, you collapse down the stretch like they've done the last couple of years. And West Virginia was a surprise. Time last year, I don't think people thought that Neil Brown was going to be back in Morgantown. They're 8-4. Been a surprise team, a chance to win 9 games. I think they got some good motivation to play here, play well and win, which is such a big part of bowl handicapping if you're looking to get down beforehand. So I laid 3 with West Virginia. I took 4.5 earlier in the week with Ole Miss. I would still take 3.5, and I would play Ole Miss on the money line as well against Penn State. I don't think Ole Miss is going to have very many opt-outs in this bowl game. I think after what happened last year, in the bowl game against Texas Tech, where Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin got completely embarrassed by Texas Tech, I think they're out for a better showing, and they get a great matchup. They get an offense in Penn State that really hasn't been very good against anybody worthwhile that they played this year. I would expect the left tackle to opt out. He's going to be one of the top 5, 6, 7 picks in the draft. We already saw Sean Robinson opt out. Manny Diaz, defensive coordinator, just took the Duke head job. So I think this number is going to close closer to a pick them, if anything else. So I grabbed Ole Miss, and I play them on the money line as well. And I grabbed Rutgers +2.5 against Miami. Again, you have to base this on motivation, opt-out, portal. I know it's been a while since Miami's won a bowl game, but Miami's had, I think, 8 or 9 guys who play go into the portal, including Tyler Van Dyke, the quarterback, and the quarterback situation really isn't very good. I don't think a winter's afternoon at baseball stadium was really the bowl destination that Miami thought they were headed towards after that upset of A&M and then the collapse of Georgia Tech. I think they're going to have issues moving the ball against the Rutgers defense. It's pretty good, and they gave Michigan and Ohio State tons of problems offensively. So I took Rutgers plus the points against Miami as well. And one thing I would say, and we've talked about live betting being your friend for bowls and trying to get ahead of information. Like if you're playing the bowl, like it's betting underdogs to win outright is never a bad strategy. I have to update the numbers from last year, but entering last year, I think if you go back over the previous dozen years or so, like underdogs, single digit underdogs covered around 40% of the time. But of those 40% that covered, 78% of them won outright. So if you're taking money lines on single digit dogs, you're probably going to come out ahead in the long run.
Nothing on the national semifinal invitational yet from you?
I think Alabama is going to close favorite against Michigan. So if you like the Tide, I would probably get ahead of that right now. I do think Alabama will win. And I like Texas in that game. I know my co-host on the pod, Jeff Schwartz, likes Washington. But I think Texas now, with the way Ewers is playing, Worthy's going to be healthy by the time the game rolls around. The fact that it's Sark against his old team, by the way, beat them in the Alamo Bowl last year. Very good. I think they're out for a little bit of revenge here. And I do like Texas in what will probably be a virtual home game in New Orleans against Washington to win that. So, yeah, I think we're going to get an Alabama-Texas rematch like we got that game in Tuscaloosa week two of the season.
I said invitational. He didn't even react. You see, you catch that?
I heard. Yeah. Sometimes it's just best to let the troll and don't respond. Just kind of let it go.
Hey, week 14, your favorite pick real quick in 5 seconds, NFL.
49ers minus 10.5.
Oh, okay. Laying the wood with the Niners.
Close.
Chris, appreciate it as always. The Bear, everybody. Chris Velika. Thank you, sir. Bear Bets Pod, college and pro football versions, Thursdays and Fridays, weekly. Those are when those are available. Dr. Bob is confirmed. He's next, right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The most wonderful time of the year can also be the most stressful time of the year when it comes to finding the perfect gift for the ones who matter most. Fortunately, Omaha Steaks is the convenient and thoughtful gift that is guaranteed to delight every single person on your gifts list every single time. Shop carefully curated gift packages that are guaranteed to make spirits bright all winter long. Go to omahasteaks.com and save 50% off site-wide. Plus, when you use promo code VSiN at checkout, get an additional $30 off your order. Offer won't last long, though. You know how that goes. Omaha Steaks, ready to ship your order right away. So shop early and beat the shipping rush. Visit omahasteaks.com. Take advantage of 50% off site-wide. Plus, use promo code VSiN at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Las Vegas 514. Yo, did you know the Cap Center was the first indoor arena to have video replay on its center-hung scoreboard? The good old days. Yes, I did. Landover, Maryland, Abe Poland built it way outside of D.C. so the Bullets and the Caps could have a place, but they had the first ever in-place big-time scoreboard with replay in
there.
That's
fascinating to me. So what?
And then they demolished it many years later.
What year that was?
What's that?
What year that would have been where they started replay?
I want to say 73 is my best guess on that. This is from Dan Cobald. this is like a – we talked about this – The Kikuchi rumor in Toronto with reserving the sushi restaurant for 50 plus people for Shohei. Dan Cobalt, just heard to say a Suzuki reserved all the batting cages for tonight at Sluggers in Wrigleyville. Testudo, Shohei was sighted outside City Field this morning, for what it's worth.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody's got a Nevada
A's. Where in the world is Shohei Ohtani?
Nevada A's or Shohei at Rogers Center, where the ball has a tendency to leave in a hurry, plus 1,100. That's 11-1 at Caesars, home run leader. How about that? And then Bruce Dobigan, final Steelers indignity. Trubisky racks up 70 yards in the final 3 minutes to go past the 188 yards passing. Last gasp pass pushes him over. Yeah, they had the two big gains with seconds left in the game. I think like 24 and 29. All for naught, though, for the Steelers. So two things happen before we get to Dr. Bob. Two things happen right there. I said right before the commercial, I said, confirm Dr. Bob is going to be on the air with us. And Kelly immediately goes, yeah. Can text me back. And then two, Felika said something that I just want to seize on about in-game betting with college bowls.
Yeah.
So we do this as a PSA every year. College football, as we always say, just in general, is the sport that reveals itself the quickest for in-game bettors. You can tell quicker in college football about how a game is going to go, generally speaking, because the team's going to dominate the other. Neither defense is going to stop the other offense, whatever it is. It just reveals itself. When it comes to bowl season, then, it's kind of on steroids that we all become sort of amateur psychologists with the motivations of some of these teams. Now, we know about players who will play or will not play. But sometimes we get into the game of, well, this team had to settle for this bowl game, so they're not going to care. And this team's going to be super motivated because they're thrilled to be. We're all so amateur when it comes to that stuff. But you watch a drive or two of some of these bowl games, just sitting and have no pre-flop bets and just show up for some of these. It can be some of the best betting that you can possibly have. So just that's bowl season is so different from any other betting vehicle of any other sport throughout the calendar year. We bring in the great Dr. Bob on that note at Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com. Pioneer, legend, as he likes to call it, in the sports predictive modeling game. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. I getting a little more sleep this week, sort of a semi off week with just Army. I'm prepping for all the bowl games, but I don't have to stay up till 4 a.m. every night to do that. I can get a little more sleep. So that's good.
Do you tweak stuff from the year with your model?
Yeah, well, I do it throughout the year, but at the end of the year, I mean, basically, there are adjustments. Teams, you know, might have different quarterbacks playing during the year. Did you face Baylor with Chapin or Robertson? Did you face Cal when they had Mendoza, or did you face them when they had Jackson or Finley at quarterback, or, you know, SMU with Jennings versus Stone or whatever? As the season goes on, there's more and more injuries. So I'm adjusting not only the team, obviously you adjust the team for who the quarterback is or who, you know, but I'm also adjusting every opposing defense that every team played based on the versions of the opposing offenses that they happen to face. And I'm weighing it by how many pass plays they had against one quarterback versus another. And as the season goes on, that those adjustments become more and more and more, you know, because there's just more and more injuries and more deviations. So part of what makes the math model good is I'm doing all these manual adjustments.
What's your best guess? So I've seen it firsthand. I've seen you. You spend your time manually adjusting, not just for personnel, but like, you know, kneel downs in the NFL, right? All of that kind of stuff. Yep. You throw it out.
Kneel downs and call it. Yeah.
Blowouts. You have a certain thing. What percentage?
Take out garbage time staff.
Yeah. What percentage of modelers? I'm asking you to completely guess. But what? How many? What's the percentage of modelers do you think that actually do what you do in that regard?
5%. I mean, and here's the thing.
I think so too.
Back in the day, I had a model and it was good. It was better than the market. It was better than what the odds makers were doing. So my model, I could just run my model and just roll it out there and win 60%, which I was doing in the early 2000s, mid 2000s. But then as more and more quantitative analysts got into sports betting, more big data was available and people could crunch numbers and then modeling, then like, okay, their model's pretty similar to kind of what I'm doing. But now everyone is so in love with their model and they just run the model out there and say, oh, here's the model. And they don't necessarily have the ability or the art form or whatever you want to call it to be able to adjust the model. And they're afraid to do it because they know if they just run the model, they're going to scratch out, you know, whatever, 53.5, 54% or whatever. But now I'm adjusting the model or I'm very good at it for current lineups. I do it in college basketball. It's where I find a lot of values, current rotations and I'm very good at that, and I take the time to do it. So now the value, because all the models are fairly, some of the market is very model-driven or algorithm-driven. And, well, I have an algorithm too. It's still better than the market, but I find a lot of value on adjusting the model for personnel changes. Remember a couple of years ago, maybe it was last year, I said, well, Notre Dame had faced like six teams' backup quarterbacks or the worst version. Maybe it was last year. And I said, just based on that, their defense is actually 3.8 points worse than a model would make it. 3.8 points is a 60-something percent bet just based on adjusting their defense based on the quarterbacks they faced. You know, so it does, that's an extreme example, but you can find good value doing that and other people don't do it. So I'm finding a lot of value when I do this kind of stuff. So it's worth the time to me.
It's a nice window into modeling for those who are considering doing it, what it really takes to do it thoroughly. All right, so you have no play on Army-Navy. I just want to jump this forward. And the one bowl play you've given out so far is Iowa State -7. It's Iowa State -8.5 now in the Liberty Bowl against Memphis. So we won't discuss that. But I do want to discuss an NFL play that you have that is still very much bettable. What is that?
Yeah, I gave out the Jets plus six early in the week before they just said they're going back to Zach Wilson. And funny that the market says, Zach Wilson, yes, let's jump on the Jets. But now the line's down to 3.5. I got it at 6. It's still a bet to me at plus 3.5 on the Jets. Because Wilson, we know what Zach Wilson is. He's certainly much better than Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle was terrible in college. He was even worse in the NFL. He's, you know, can I say he's worse than Tommy DeVito? Maybe. I mean, he's just, I don't believe this guy. Like I said, I think he's just a good conversationalist, and Aaron Rodgers liked having him around. But anyway, he's off the team. Zach Wilson's back at quarterback. Well, we know what Zach Wilson is. When Zach Wilson was the quarterback, the Nets were only outgained by 0.1 net yards per play before he got benched. Last year, they were plus 0.2 in net yards per play when Wilson was the quarterback. So the Jets are not a terrible team, even with Zach Wilson a quarterback. They're about an average team, but they're still being priced worse than that because they've lost 5 in a row to the spread. They've lost 5 in a row straight up. And that's about when the market says, oh, we've had enough of the Jets. No one wants to bet on the Jets. Perfect. Give me the Jets. And there's, you know, teams that have lost 5 in a row to the spread actually start to become good bets because the market and the public sort of given up on them, and especially non-division games, because, you know, now if the Jets were playing New England or something, they would get up for the Jets. But here we got a Houston team coming off 3 straight cushy home games. They're playing good. Now they're going in, you know, to play a non-division opponent who's struggling. They probably don't have a ton of respect. Non-division underdogs that have lost 5 or more games in a row to the spread are 172 and 123 against the number. That's a solid 60% just off the top. The Jets are apply to a 57 and 10 subset of that situation. And I just mentioned Houston 3-game homestand. Well, road favors are more than 3 points. So you're playing 3 straight at home, and now you're going on the road against what's considered a bad team. Road favorites are more than 3 points after playing 3 or more straight games at home. 19 and 41 against the spread over the years. The last one was earlier this year. San Francisco had a nice cushy 3-game homestand and then went into Cleveland and lost as a big favorite. So it's not a great situation for Houston. Their recent runs got them overvalued. New York's has got them undervalued. Houston's got trouble with Tank Dell out. Tank Dell, not only was he 13th in the league in EPA per target, but he was being double teamed the fourth most of any receiver in the league, and still was 13th in the league in EPA per target.
Jeez.
So now they don't have to double team him. And you got Nico Collins up against Sauce Gardner. The offense is, and plus the weather's going to be bad. I think Houston's running game is going to struggle. Jets can stop the run. I just think it sets up for the Jets to keep this a low scoring close game.
Bob, love you. Thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it. Enjoy your semi time off. The great Dr. Bob.
All right.
The great Dr. Bob, everybody. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten, what he's betting this weekend. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets, just betting $5 on baloncesto. That's basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSIN. That's V-S-I-N. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada here at the D. We get tweets at Beat of the Book.
By
the
way, a quick MVP pro tip off that. Just compare those in-season tournament MVP odds to if you're betting the game tomorrow
night. Oh, this is a great tip, yes.
Yeah, just compare those odds to what the actual game odds are. Yeah, we've got them right here. Like, if you wanted to put, like, LeBron, the Lakers win this. LeBron's winning the MVP. You can lay minus 145 instead of a steeper money line on the Lakers than it is right now. And then vice versa. You don't play Haliburton to win the MVP. Just play the Pacers on the money line to win the game.
Yeah, by comparison, the actual money line on that game on Friday is minus 170 on the Lakers versus minus 115 on LeBron, plus 148-ish on the Pacers versus plus 115 on Haliburton. Well said, sir. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Paul Nelson, I miss slow jamming with Vinny Maiolio.
Yeah.
I do, too. I miss Vinny. Absolutely. Miss my mishpucha, Chrissy, as well. Over the levee, you're much more enthusiastic about Omaha Steaks than Paulie is. I didn't know that. Is he not enthusiastic? I'm very enthusiastic about Omaha Steaks. I can't speak for anybody else. Earn to Burn. Hey, Gil, I heard Matt Brown has a new podcast. It's called Hey, I Got a New Podcast. All right. Okay. And then Jack Hannon, I'm going to Ron Burgundy through this. As a lifelong Steeler fan, I always thought that 80% of the Tomlin haters had an issue with his race. He goes, for the first time last night, I questioned the effort in the first half. That has to fall on Tomlin. I don't think that's why people question Tomlin. I just think they don't think he's that much of a X's and O's guy. I don't think he even suggests that he is. There's something about his sort of, it's sort of more of a managerial thing that happens with him. And so when they're good, he tends not to get the credit. That's my assumption on it.
Yeah, I think I feel similar.
Yeah.
And I think I'd still put, I mean, I would still say he's a top half of the league NFL head
coach. I would too. Yeah. I would too. Absolutely.
I mean, he can't help. Again, I think we're overblowing what's happened the past two games. Like, there's just not much. There's not much talent on the offensive side of this of the football.
It's like Chris Collinsworth comment. He goes, "What's the most important position in football? Quarterback. What's the second most important position in football? Backup quarterback."
I mean, this says it all right here.
Yes.
When the fans in the stands are chanting for Mason Rudolph during a game,
so
it's nothing to do with the head coach. You got a talent issue.
By the way, you know, I've been the one who said, you know, Belichick's legacy, will there now be a phrase at the end where they're like, yeah, but when he didn't have Tom Brady, he kind of sucked. It's kind of not fair of me to say that, right? Because it's like, it's Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi.
Yeah.
Who amongst us, right? Like, who amongst the great coaches could win with that duo? And with Kenny Pickett, who, yeah, was a first-round pick. I mean, that was the problem. And with Mitch Trubisky, who we know, like, Mitch Trubisky, by the way, on that 4th-and-2, why don't they just tuck it under? Like, the one thing Trubisky can do is run.
Right.
But when you have that duo of quarterbacks, how good can you really be? They were overachieving before the last two games against the Cardinals and last night against the Patriots. And it just came home to roost. They are who we thought they were.
And the other one, we bring this up often. You know, Jason's waiting. Sorry, Jason.
Bring in Jason. Jason Weingarten, yeah. Everybody at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
The other one with Belichick, I think, is interesting. We say this a lot with other sports and other, you know, players, coaches, whatever. Belichick, we're never really going to be able to fully evaluate what his career would have been like without Tom Brady. Maybe he is a great coach that could have turned someone else, another quarterback into something great.
Last thing on this, we were talking about Josh Dobbs earlier. It's like, okay, well, if you don't go with Josh Dobbs, who are you going with? You're going to call Sean Mannion into the starting lineup? Like, what are you doing with this? I know he's the third string. Okay, Jason joins us. How you doing, Jason? Sorry about that.
Oh, it's fine. But you know, the thing with Belichick, at least the way I look at it, and you see it a lot with coaches, not just football, you see it in all sports, but dudes just don't know when to call it a career and pack up and go out as a champion, you know? He had so many opportunities to go out on top, but for whatever reason, whether it's that he has no hobbies because he's been a football coach his entire life, or he has no friends outside of football, I don't know. I'm speculating there, but he just keeps going to work. And, you know, I mean, some people just keep working because they know they're going to retire and go home and die. So, again, no argument there to keep working if that's sort of the way you live. But people just don't know when to walk away and go out on top. And unfortunately, Bill has stuck around too long, which many people do in life, and he gets to, kind of get the criticism for that. But he did have a good game last night, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, they did, and you might be right. Maybe it's because he doesn't have any other hobbies. Maybe it's because he wanted to prove that he could be successful without Tom Brady. Look, I mean, you could say
that's the point. What does he have to prove? Who's he got to prove it to? He's got 10 rings or 11 rings, whatever he has. Go on your boat.
I mean, he does have that boat. You know, Andy Reid, I think about Andy Reid after winning the Super Bowl, right?
He has no family life. He's doing this because his family life is a huge mess. He goes home and his kids is in prison and on drugs, and he has nothing outside of football. It's real sad.
I also think I do think there's an assessment, though, from Andy Reid where he's like, well, why should I let anybody else have the Patrick Mahomes years? I'll take these, right? Like, I think there's a lot of stuff that goes into all these considerations for folks.
You don't want to. Retire when you got Patrick Mahomes. I get that too.
Yeah.
These coaches don't have anything to do outside of football when you spend your entire life. I mean, every story I read, these guys, you know, they get up at 4 a.m. I remember reading stories about John Gruden when he was a head coach, getting in at like 3:30, 4 in the morning. I mean, you have no life when you're a football coach.
Yeah.
Your whole life is football.
By the way, I mean, that extends beyond football coaches too, right? Like, I even think about my dad. My dad, like, he didn't have a hobby. He wasn't a golfer. He wasn't anything. He went to work. You know, he's 75, 80 years old. He's still going to work. I'm like, all right, you know, but
because he liked it, he didn't want to. He knew if he stopped, it would, you know, you slow down. It's not fun. You don't want to do that. I get it.
You're exactly right. You know that for a lot of people, that if they stop their actual job, then it ends pretty quickly. Okay, what did you end up week 14 in the NFL then?
So I ended up, I got a couple bets. I love the Texans this weekend. You can get them still -3.5. There's some 2.5s earlier, but it's sort of one of those, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. How many times are you going to go back to Zach Wilson? He's shown you what he's capable of and what he's incapable of. And it's more that he's incapable of running this offense. He's not a good quarterback. And they obviously don't have another, you know, option, another viable option, but this is just gross. Like, is the definition of insanity, going back to the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result.
So you are taking the Texans, you are laying the points with the Texans.
I'm taking the quarterback that's had a better career in 10 weeks than Zach Wilson has in 3 years. Yes.
Oppo,
no question.
Oppo, Dr. Bob, going with the Texans right here.
No, I don't like that. That's never good.
I don't like that. Quick reversal.
No, I'm not.
By the way,
it is wild though how much that spread has moved.
Yes.
Based off of
there's
that.
There's some other stuff too,
but
I think.
But there. Tim Boyle, like to Bob's point, Tim Boyle at UConn. You ready for this again? I've said this once before. One touchdown, 13 picks. Now I know he played at Eastern Kentucky after that, and it was 11 touchdowns and 13 picks. But I mean, good God, how does that guy at UConn end up in the NFL? It's incredible. So yes, this probably is an improvement to Zach Wilson. I don't know if it justifies that kind of move, but it's got to be some kind of improvement. Okay, what else?
Buffalo Bills. They got him at +2. I see 1.5, but there's probably still a couple twos out there. I see teasers this weekend. I see a lot of twos. I see a 7.5 on the Ravens. I'm excited for some of these teasers.
What's
honestly.
Your favorite? We do this on the Megapod. What's our favorite two-team six-point teaser? What is yours?
Broncos. Broncos is one of the legs. I actually kind of like the Broncos this year. I'm a little bit of a sick individual.
a little bit, yes.
I'd probably go Broncos and Ravens -1.5. I'm a little worried about Lamar Jackson not being 100%, but I'm still not convinced that this Rams team is good enough to win on the road against a team as good as the Ravens.
Yeah, although we're monitoring Lamar Jackson, right? Because he did not practice yesterday.
Yeah, got to.
Yeah,
got
to do that.
Blue, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Did I hear what your favorite teaser leg is then? It's the who and the who, the Broncos and the Ravens?
Broncos
and Ravens. Okay. We had variations on the Megapod with Brent, Will, Todd, and I of there were some Bears legs in there. There was a lot of Ravens love in there as well, for sure. I like the Chargers this week. I know everybody thinks Brandon Staley is going to be outcoached by Sean Payton. What exactly has Sean Payton done great besides them having a +12 turnover thing in four straight, you know, in a four-game span? I'm not really sure. So I kind of like the Chargers in that. One more? Anything else?
That's about it. Army-Navy game. I don't really have a play on that. I'm actually kind of leaning towards the over. I think the under has been played out there, but
we had three.
Don't really have a play. It is a very fun game to watch, though. It's one of the more exciting games of the year, usually.
We have three guests today. You, Felica, and Dr. Bob. Nobody has a play on the Army-Navy game. Again, 27.5. I'm correcting myself from earlier. 27.5 is now the consensus number on that. This is a really interesting day. It's a Friday and a Saturday where it's just one standalone college football game. Not really a big college basketball slate tonight either. The NBA did such a great job scheduling that championship game for tomorrow
night. We do have the FCS playoffs tomorrow. Don't forget that. Four more football games.
Funny how they figured out how to do a tournament, but FBS couldn't. It's interesting. Thanks, Jason. Have a good weekend, man.
You too, guys. Have a good weekend. Fun show today.
The great Jason Weingarten, Spreadopedia. Thank you, sir. Kelly and I'll come back. Our bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College bowl season is here. VSiN has an early Christmas present for you. Not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, that is. What are you waiting for? No problem. We're giving away this year's College Bowl betting guide to everyone. We got spreads, totals, expert picks from the Golics, Steve Mackinnon, and Brent Musburger for every single bowl game. Put a bow on this bowl season. Get a free copy of our VSiN College Football Bowl betting guide. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/bowl guide and get your free copy today. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, I cannot stress enough what an honor it is to have Brent That's great. Awesome. Brent Musburger, yeah. Do the Megapod. He does it once a year. He's so generous with it. And
he was right here with
right
you yesterday,
here, right here yeah. with us yesterday. He's, you know, he's still as engaged as ever in handicapping these games. He was so funny yesterday on certain things where it's like we almost had to like warn Brent to not, you know, as opposed to Todd. So it was great. And the interaction between Todd and Brent is just joyous. Just what everything you'd imagine it could be. Todd doing his Yinzer accent. So the Megapod again, the Beating the Book Megapod with Brent Musburger this week. Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and I doing that. Mike Pritchard, our guest next week. Hopefully, nice. Kelly Bidlin may be working out in his schedule that he could be a Megapod guest later this year.
Shoe me in whenever, buddy. Golf's no golf going on. I'm a little my schedule's a little bit more wide open. Right,
I was worried if I saw him at the game yesterday, he was going to big time. Like, hey, Kelly, he'd be like, I don't know you. Who are you? We'll talk to you after work.
A lot better seats than I did.
By the way, I want to say this. I want to say this about Tomlin too, because Will Hill's like, oh yeah, you make an excuses for Tomlin with the quarterback. He's right about a couple things. Like, let's take this one sequence. So it's 21-18. Steelers. Remember, they got a pick. They couldn't capitalize on it. They went for it on fourth down. They couldn't convert. But then they got the block punt, so they get it. They do get it to 21-18. And then New England has to punt. So Pittsburgh ends up with the ball. Now, this is with, you know, 7 minutes plus left in the game. This is before that final sequence. And Pittsburgh has a fourth and inches at their own 29. They squander one of their timeouts, which came back to haunt them later. They'd already used one before that. So in that last sequence, they ended up with one timeout. That's why the game ended when it did, or de facto ended, before they got the ball back with mere seconds left. But fourth and inches at their own 29, they use a timeout when they shouldn't have, because timeouts are precious when you're down three. Trubisky, they decide to go for it. Trubisky does get two. What do you know? He ran for it. Right. What a suggestion. Then they get to fourth and three at their own 38 with 5:06 to go, and they elect to punt. And you just ask yourself, like, okay, didn't you just a second ago with his, you're back for it? You're not going to.
And I don't even get, so like, they all have these
He does that kind of stuff all the time, right? Where it's right. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, all these coaches have these, like, analytics teams or, like, well, you know, assistant helping out with that kind of stuff now, too. I always wonder, what is the communication? Like, it's the, so it's like, hey, you should go for it here. And then the head coach is like, half yard? Yeah, you're right. But then, like, oh, God forbid, it's 3 yards. And the guy's still telling you, go for it.
No,
like,
yeah, no, because Will's right. I don't want to let him completely off the hook with he has terrible quarterbacks, which he does. But he also just, nothing makes any sense with that team. And then, of course, the fourth and two where they go, you know, let's go for the home run here.
I'll give Will some credit, too. I was listening to the Bear Bets podcast on my way in this morning with the whole crew. And Will was talking about, they were talking about the Bills, right? Much like we've been talking about. I don't know that I'm running to bet the yes price on them to make the playoffs. I think if you're going to make a bet on the Bills, like, go big. Go to bet the way win the AFC or to win the Super Bowl or something like that. Because like you talked about, I think they are the team that could give any of those teams some trouble. And I'd rather bet on the high side with them because there's a chance they don't make it in the playoffs. I think that is still realistic. I don't know if you're still getting enough bang for your buck on that yes price on them right now. But if they get in, they're so live. And like yes. A 50-1 ticket on them to win it, like that is, that's pretty juicy. I think that's a good bet.
The issue, of course, with them is that, yes, they're on the outside looking in. They're 6-6 right now, 7-5. The Texans at 7-5 inhabit the number 7 spot. But if you know, this is at Kansas City, right, this week, at Kansas City, followed by, to close out the season, home Dallas, at Chargers, home New England, at Miami. Mm-hmm. Now, if that Miami game doesn't mean anything, then it becomes a whole bunch easier. But otherwise, I mean, you got, and I'll include the at Chargers. I know some people won't, but you got 4 out of 5 games there that are tough football games. And you're already like can't really afford to lose more than one max at this point. So that's the issue. It's a feast and famine situation where they can miss it entirely. Or again, if they can just sneak in and then they're all of a sudden as live
as
could
be. But that's kind of my point, right? Like, I'd rather have the big ticket if they manage to get in instead of betting more money, right, at shorter odds for them just to make the playoffs.
So here's Kelly and I are going to give it the bets that we already have bet here. in the NFL week 14. And let me, and again, I'll just say this, just the last couple weeks. 2 weeks ago, I hated the schedule. It was the Thanksgiving week. I did terribly. I went 1-4 in the contest. Last week, I loved it. Made 4 bets during the guessing lines. Went 5-0 in the contest. This week, I don't really like it. I hate all the bets I've made. Have I ever said that yet this year? I don't think I have. I actually have bets that now I look at them and I'm like, oh, God, I don't know. I got the Chargers minus 2.5. Chargers minus 2.5. Again, against the Broncos, I just, you know, I know people hate Brandon Staley and people love Sean Payton. I'm just not in that camp with Sean Payton. I'm not.
I hear you.
So the Chargers' talent has to win out at some point, doesn't it?
This is the absolute inverse of the Pittsburgh Steelers, right?
Yes.
Them playing well with no talent. And yes, the Chargers.
See, now as I'm talking about it, I'm screaming myself into loving it again. Come on.
It's my favorite bet that you have. How about that?
Oh, no. It's down, my favorite it's of your downhill bets. From here, everybody, according to Kelly. Okay. I did. I do have Houston. I bought this down to 3. I'm laying way too much juice on that 3, but I bought it down to 3 against the Jets on Oppo, Dr. Bob Oppo-ish, because he got the plus 3.5. I got the Packers minus the 6.5 on one of the two Monday night games at the Giants. I've got the Packers power ranked 9th. You're not going to go rich betting teams on the road as big favorites. Certainly not a team the caliber of the Packers, who are, you know, north of middling, but still really good. I have them rated higher than most. And I think Jordan Love is actually really good right now. So I laid the points with the Packers. And here's the one that I hate the most. I got the Browns minus 3 against the Jaguars. The assumption, you know what they say about assuming, it makes you regret what you thought beforehand, I believe is what they say about assuming.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed Trevor Lawrence wouldn't be playing in this game. We don't know. As we sit here Friday morning, we have no idea. This dude could actually play on Sunday. He was limited in practice yesterday. So if that's the case, this 3 is terrible. Now, the funny part is, as we segue to Kelly's bet, Kelly's bets, Kelly has the Jaguars minus 3. He hates his bet, too.
Of course I do. I don't think there's any way he's playing.
Why would you play
it? Right. Exactly.
Why risk it?
I mean, you have long term goals. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, you should just be thanking your lucky stars that Trevor Lawrence's injury wasn't much worse. So if you just got to sit him out for one game, you know, against Cleveland, I understand it is a big game, or could end up being a big game, at least for AFC playoff scenarios. But why risk it? Like, if it's give him the week off. And for your bet, like, I hate mine way more because obviously still yours is, even if he does go.
Mine is actual market reflective at this point. Yes. Yours is something else.
Mine is 6 points worse than the market.
Yes. Yeah. I hope you hate yours more right now.
Yeah. But even if he does play, I'm assuming at least his mobility is going to be limited. So, like, what? You're talking about Trevor Lawrence as just a pure pocket passer? Like, yeah.
I don't think he's playing, but who knows?
That's like an average NFL quarterback that you're getting at best. So, that's a trash bet I made, yes, before on Monday, before Monday Night Football. Just being fully transparent, this is what happens when you try to get a good number and try to get in front of something. And then a star quarterback gets injured on that night's game. So, I do have that. Bears-Lions, I mentioned earlier, I did bet the over on this one as well. I think that with this weather shifting, the weather brought this total way down, and then it doesn't look like it's going to be as big of a deal here. I trust Fields to put up some big numbers against the Lions and that defense that we've been talking about. And let's see what we could get out of this Lions offense outdoors. But I like the over there. Did do the teaser with the Ravens and the Bills. Lamar, you better go. And then I'm on the Cowboys, but laid the 3 early on the opener. And then I did add to the team total over 27.5. I'll get tip the cap to Will Hill again because he brought that up the other day when he was on. I think that's a sound bet with the Cowboys at home. They've been putting up big, big points. I am on Cowboys with a couple different bets. I guess that makes me Oppo Matt Brown. But I just think this is another spot for the Eagles. You're getting another rest disadvantage game with the Cowboys having played on that last Thursday night. You're coming off of playing the Niners. I think it's going to be tough to rebound from that, too. Like, you're beat up all around. Jalen Hurts definitely playing through some stuff right now. So, yeah, I do like that Cowboys side this week. That's probably my favorite bet.
I think I'm staying completely away from that game. I've seen too many Philly Cowboys game that ends up the games that end up on three.
Oh, I hear you.
That I, yeah.
Do I feel like there's like a 40% chance I push? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've done all we can do. Good luck with all your Week 14 bets in the National Football League. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.